my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS took her.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson's bleeding today.
And I'll say it right to the camera. Stop it.
Hold it, mate.
Run, please.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're going to get this Terramax out.
Live a clean life. Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
You, were you Ellen and Chillin, and so on and so forth?
I think I just got the edge of the hurricane, came up and kissed me on the face just a minute ago.
Did it feel nice? Nice Atlantic breeze?
It was very gentle. Let me post some pics here in the chat, yeah, so you can see what's happening right now in America.
Show me the destruction.
This destruction.
Show me the anguish. I like anguish. That's
Hold
a good
on
word.
One second.
Such a strong word. Scenes of anguish today. 14 dead. Westboro Mall. Big scenes of anguish. Is this Sam Hyde in this video up here? Homosexual trapezoids? Or is that just he just happens to look like him?
Trust me, when you fire this game up.
I got Sam Hyde. Here's the pictures. Okay, here's the storm bearing down on America. Now, doesn't that look scary?
It does. It's a very scary satellite image.
Now, this is the same scale. And this is China right now. And this is what theirs looks like. Oh no, this is wrong picture here.
Bill's about to scare us with some new pictures on Hate Radio.
Why is it doing this? Did I do the wrong one?
Radio Hate is brought to you proudly by Hurricane Florence, who brought you such deaths as 7 in North Carolina and 5 arrests due to looting.
Oh my god.
1 million without power.
Listen, the hackers inside my computer are trying to censor this, but I can go back on the weather website and just get another.
Yeah, I got.
Get another screen cap.
I got 3 pics of Florence here hovering over the East Coast.
Well,
it doesn't even look like
this?
A hurricane anymore.
Type in super typhoon, king of storms, China.
Oh, this sounds like my kind of weather report.
This is the biggest storm, I think, of all time, man. It's a super typhoon, and it's bearing down on the biggest cities in China, and you don't hear a word about it,
no?
Do you? This is the first you've heard of it, right?
Well, it's just
this
not
is
as
the
important.
First... Well, dude, this is going to kill billions of people, maybe. We've just got a band of hurricanes all around the planet now. This typhoon, it's another hemisphere, reaches all the way from India to the Philippines and to China. It just encompasses a third of the planet. It could be a new never-ending thing. Just this typhoon sweeping across the planet.
It's gaining strength over the South China Sea, the disputed South China Sea, by the way, after hurtling through the Philippines, killing 25 people, goddamn. It's fucking up buildings. It's a Category 5 intense hurricane. It's the equivalent to a maximum Cat 5 in the Atlantic. Okay, I don't get it. The winds are ripping at 125 miles an hour, and this is a Category 5. But the hurricane over the Atlantic Ocean was only a Category 4, but it was like 140 mile an hour winds. So it's not just the winds, it must be the size or something too.
I think the categories have to do with its potential for damage.
Oh, okay.
Rather than the just the one measurement or another.
It's caused a lot of landslides, and it's on its way to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I bet Hong Kong is a cool fucking place.
It's probably one of the coolest places in the world. You know, it probably makes China look like shit. I mean, not China, New York City. It makes New York City look like shit, I bet.
Yeah, I bet it makes New York City look soft.
Like a little shit town. Like, oh, you live in that little place?
Yeah, with your safe fucking roads and buildings and subway. Come to Hong Kong, dude. And
you ever seen that Kowloon Walled City?
Oh, dude, that's one of my favorite fucking things. I love that place. They demolished it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's gone.
You know, I really want to make that in Rust.
It's an amazing fucking place, dude. Imagine, the streets.
Dude, can you imagine an MMO that took place in Kowloon Walled City?
Like the Mafia. There was like some kind of, you know, mob running the heroin operation in Kowloon.
I believe there were separate mobs that had their own turf.
So they were competing. And,
yeah, mobs. There wasn't just one. Well, maybe they probably had like a council of the mobs,
right? With leadership and everything, representation. They wouldn't let this woman cure people of heroin because they were the ones selling heroin. But then they were like, "Yeah, she's not going to hurt anything. Let her cure the heroin users." And so, like, they let her treat heroin users. Like, at first they didn't want her to treat the heroin users because heroin was their bag. But they're like, no, dude, it's fucking heroin, you know? She's going to get 7 people off of it, and we're going to get 45 more addicted for every person.
Yeah, now that every grandmother is on heroin across the nation, it's just... They have to be nice to the heroin addicts now, because it could be some nice suburban person. They're doing it too.
Now that opioid crisis is a real knee slapper. The way it's climbing people.
You know, I wish we were back in the 50s when everybody was on amphetamines and jacked up and productive, you know?
Everybody had those like wicked jacked upper bodies, but like the little bird legs.
Yeah, and science fiction writers like us were getting paid, you know, a couple grand just to pump out a trashy novel left and right. Any of them, you know, you could just our shit. We would be pretty rich.
Yeah,
if we played our cards right,
we'd just plop down a couple typewriters, and we'd have people beating down the doors begging for more of that trippy ass fucking Hypermart shit. Give me the Hypermart. If you want to read the Hypermart now, you have to go to LabelDroger.com/whatever, and it's there in the list of publications.
And you got to read other stuff too, though.
It's all there.
You got to read this. You know, that's the thing they couldn't do in the 50s, though, is give a daily update to everybody, just a couple paragraphs at a time. And you got to love that.
It was a whole ordeal to get a message out.
But nowadays you make something quality and you can't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, now that you know what, that plenty of people can get it. Who's the big guy? Ernest Cline, your Ready Player One? That's the science fiction of the day. And you know what it is? It's just references to all the stuff from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like, just backwards looking. How can you turn a great genre like science fiction on its head and turn it into a backwards-looking nostalgia fest? It seems impossible, but Ernest Cline did it.
My friend, we were at the Strand bookstore, and she goes to pick up, I think it was a Philip K. Dick book or something like that, and she's reading the description of it, you know, and it's like in a whatever overpopulated dystopian hellhole. Everybody's cramped in together in this futuristic, everybody lives on a fucking space station and it's cyberpunk hell. And she was bored with it because it's like everybody keeps fucking rehashing that shit, that even the original stuff that kicked it all off is like, okay, please. You guys have run this into the ground.
Well, getting the dreariness of everyday life, I think, is a, you know, to me, that's a literature of the truth, right? Just the everyday human struggle that people face today. A lot of people don't, you know, they want to have a nice optimistic joyride through fantasy nostalgia land and watch Ernest Cline, but I'm telling you, to me, the truthful story is the one that hits at home, right?
Seems like a truthful story would make you kind of uncomfortable because of how truthful it is, right? You'd be like,
well,
yeah,
that's a matter of taste.
A little on the nose.
Yeah, you can. No, if no, listen, you're right. You go too far with that, and you end up on r/cringe, and you're like looking into these people. And to me, I've liked the mystics and the fanatics and the just crazed would-be leaders like Nemelka, like. You know, to me, that gets at something. That's a weird, not everyday truth, right? Those guys, who lives lives like these guys?
Right.
They're rare birds, right?
He's
you're John Thiessen, you're Jamie Joe Korn. These people are on this journey into the uncharted style of living.
It's like catching sight of a meteor. Like, oh, there it goes. There goes Miley burning up in the atmosphere.
That's what Chronicle has always been about when it's to do with personalities, right?
We sacrifice the sacred cows here, and also we amplify these insane personalities like Christopher Nemelka. And who are other people?
to the absurd, right?
Of course. I mean, Christopher Nemelka, he's my lord and savior. I don't know what you're taking, but Marvelous Works and a Wonder is right here on my nightstand.
Well, I bought his books used, so the money only goes to him indirectly.
Wow. Sorry, Chris. It's a shame that he had to hear it that way, because
I was the one who first told him that Anonymous had anything to do with attacking Scientology. And that really spooked him, I think.
He didn't know what he was getting involved in, dude.
Yeah, and you know all the people in his cult went and looked up that shit.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the sad thing about cult leaders, they're always being manipulated by their followers more than anyone else. And you can tell that's why he's like hostile to them and trying to quit and, you know, all this stuff. But he still wants to hang around because who else does he have? You know, it's kind of a tough spot to be in.
He knows that they're just one Google search away from seeing through him.
I was always totally uncomfortable when people would come to me and like ask me questions about life and stuff when I was posting that Inglip stuff. And whenever anybody had like any kind of sense of wise one, tell me
ooh
truth, you know, right?
That's rough.
When it's totally obscene and vulgar, and that's why I really loved reading Chogyam Trungpa, or however you say his name, because he had this, there was this story about this wise man and a guy who was looking for him. I think maybe it might be Marpa and Naropa, but I don't know which one is which, so let's call him Clyde and Lenny. And Clyde is a real wise man, and Lenny has been going from wise man to wise man, and it's like, this guy is faking it. And then he finds this guy, and he's like, oh, this guy's legit. This is, I can really buy into his message. I want his teachings. I want his dharma. And he's like, what do I have to do? And the guy's like, well, why don't you go clean up the charnel grounds? And the guy goes over and, like, you know, arranges all the dead bodies and bones and stuff. And it's just horrible. It's like being in hell. And his soul is just ruined by it. And he doesn't feel any better. And goes back to the guy. And he's like, yeah, I didn't really get the truth of God out of that, right? And Clyde's like, oh, well, Lenny, I'm going to need you to go down the store and buy me a hot tub and install it in my in the back of my house here. And he's like, yeah, okay, sure. Because he's, you know, this guy really knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it really sounds like a Christopher Nemelka.
He's like, yeah. I really didn't get the truth out of that one either. And he's like, well, why don't you just give me a massage? I could really use one. And go off to massage school on the weekends too. That'll
get
help.
Better at it.
Yeah, you suck.
And I'm gonna roll over every once in a while.
And you're and gonna... I mean, he just rides this guy and rides this guy.
Yeah. And then what?
And he's miserable. He can't find the truth.
Yeah, and he's starting to doubt.
But he's not starting to doubt. He knows this guy has the truth.
Oh, he never doubts.
He searched all over the land for this guy. I mean, he turned down everybody, and when he came to this guy, he knew he was the one.
And the more work this guy tricks him into doing, the deeper he is in the investment, kind of like a multi-level marketing thing.
Yeah. This is real-life psychology, not a silly story.
Right.
Anyway, and this guy, he's like, I still don't see the truth, man. I still don't see it. And then, well.
Some good old boys come in.
No.
Called Kilgore and Haytsack.
Clyde whips out the pistol, shoots him in the foot, and that's the moment when he sees the truth of it all, and he sees God finally, and it's all revealed to him in that moment.
Wait, which one murders?
Clyde, the wise man, he pulls out his 22.
Slaughters him.
22. No. It's just a 22, and he gives him a mere flesh wound with it just to insult him in a really base way, just to say, you're my bitch.
Yeah.
And in that moment, he sees reality.
And does he actually see reality, or does he see some painted up God-filtered vision?
No. This is true salvation. This is this is what he's been looking for his whole life.
And this is enlightenment.
I mean, you can call it enlightenment. It's a mystic event, yeah. Well, some people call it lovemaking. Some people call this is just one kind, you know. This is the kind that a lot of people who really you know, it's a common thing. People looking for their wisdom in these desperate, crazed ways,
and they get wrapped up with Nemelka. These shitbirds.
Nemelka, yeah, you have Nemelka, and you have, you know.
They get wrapped up in these fucking, I don't want to say it, but these fucking personalities, man.
But that's why Tibetan Buddhism is really great, because it truly has a savvy psychology behind its myths. It's not some black and white patriarchal type of, and God gave the law to his children.
You know, right? What was not fulfilling to me about Taoism, and it made me feel kind of empty, because I read about it and read about it, and there was even a time when I might have considered myself a Taoist, although I believed at the time that because the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao, that if I were to call myself a Taoist, that I wouldn't really, you know?
You wouldn't be the true Taoist.
Yeah, it'd be missing the point, kind of. So, but that's how far, you know? And I, but there was something about it. There was, like, something missing, right? Because everything was owed to the way. Like, well, you know, this is the way everything is. Like, the way water cuts through stone, slowly moving downhill. Just the way. Everything was the way.
Do you know the way?
And Dawei was
Do you like, know the way?
and you're looking for it. You know, you're like, okay, well, what's the force behind the way? And you have to accept that it is just the way. And that left me feeling kind of empty.
Well, I think about it.
And what you're saying about Buddhism makes me think that I could get something from Buddhism that I couldn't find in Taoism.
The way in Taoism of negative spacing in your action is actually a way of efficiency and economy rather than one of negativity. It's not a total void. You can read the poems and focus on the action. You know, the action must be appropriate. That's what Taoism is trying to put out there. And it can be emptying if you know if that aspect put too much emphasis on it.
But if it does, if it is there behind your actions, and your actions are appropriate, then Taoism has served its purpose for you.
Right, and it's kind of, as a drummer, you know when to not play, right? That's what Taoism is all about. That's what that way is. It's leave a rest here and there.
You got to know when to hold them.
And when to fold them, exactly.
You got to know when to fold them.
I think Charlie Daniels would be a Taoist if he didn't turn into such a horrible racist. No, it wasn't. That wasn't even. Was that Charlie Daniels?
Was that Chucky Daniels? I believe. The gambler. That might have been Kenny Rogers.
No, that's right. It was Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers was a Taoist, folks. Warm
summer's eve. Sweet old man. On a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. So we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle. He's got that glottal fry. My last swallow. Then he bombed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet. And his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count. Kenny Rogers explaining the way of the Tao.
Now, what's that country song about the man who made a bet with the devil and got a beer out of it or something?
I wanted the fiddle of gold against her soul?
No.
Oh, no. Are you thinking of the poem? Devil?
No.
There's a great Shel Silverstein poem about that.
It may have been Shel Silverstein who wrote it.
What happens? It's a country tune. Me and the Devil. Hank Third does a song with the devil, right?
Hank Third does every song about the devil. That boy is possessed.
He likes the devil's daughter. Hank Williams Third did Satan Is Real. You ever heard Satan Is Real?
No.
Let's check it out. He's got a voice just like his daddy. Satan is real,
working in spirit. You can see him. Oh, no. Turn this off. Turn this off now. No, we want to beat the devil by Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, okay. I was kind of enjoying that Hank Third.
No, dude.
That was good.
He's a devil. Kris Kristofferson, you got to hear that song. This is a great song.
Devil to Pay? Or the silver tongue devil.
To beat the devil.
We're going to beat the devil out of it on Hate Radio?
Beat the devil.
Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Hate is about to beat the devil. You, me, and Chris Christopherson. This is the Internet Chronicle.
I come across a great and wasted friend of mine in the hallway of a recording studio. And while he was reciting some poetry to me that he'd written, I saw that he was about a step away from dying, and I couldn't help but wonder why. And the lines of this song occurred to me. I'm happy to say he's no longer wasted, and he's got him a good woman. And I'd like to dedicate this to John and June, who helped show me how to beat the devil.
Jesus, dude, this is gonna be dark.
Nah, it's alright.
It was wintertime in Nashville, down on Music City Row, and I was looking for a place to get myself out of the cold, to warm the frozen feeling that was eating at my soul, keep the chilly wind off my guitar. My thirsty wanted whiskey, my hungry needed beans. But it'd been a month of payday since I'd heard that eagle scream. So with a stomach full of empty and a pocket full of dreams, I left my pride and stepped inside a bar.
Ooh.
Actually, I guess you'd call it a tavern.
Oh, okay.
Cigarette smoke to the ceiling and sawdust on the floor. Friendly shadows. I saw that there was just one old man sitting at the bar. And in the mirror I could see him checking me and my guitar. And he turned and said, "Come up here, boy, and show us what you are." I said, "I'm dry." He bought me a beer. He nodded at my guitar and said, "It's a tough life, ain't it?" I just looked at him. He said, "You ain't making any money, are you?" I said, "You've been reading my mail." He just smiled, said, "Let me see that guitar. I got something you ought to hear." Then he laid it on me. If you waste your time talking to the people who don't listen to the things that you are saying, who do you think's gonna hear? And if you should die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, who do you think's gonna care? There were other lonely singers in a world turned deaf and blind who were crucified for what they tried to show. And their voices have been scattered by the swirling winds of time, 'cause the truth remains that no one wants to know. Well, the old man was a stranger, but I'd heard his song before. Back when failure had me locked out on the wrong side of the door. When no one stood behind me but my shadow on the floor. And lonesome was more than a state of mind. You see, the devil haunts a hungry man. If you don't want to join him, you gotta beat him. I ain't saying I beat the devil, but I drank his beer for nothing. Then I stole his song.
Oh, shit.
And you still can hear me singing to the people who don't listen to the things that I am saying, praying someone's gonna hear. And I guess I'll die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, hoping someone's gonna care. I was born a lonely singer, and I'm bound to die the same. But I've gotta feed the hunger in my soul. And if I never have a nickel, I won't ever die ashamed, 'cause I don't believe that no one wants to know.
That was Kris Kristofferson beating the devil out of it.
Started writing this song about.
And then he was about to go on into the Pilgrim.
No, we don't need it twice. It's too good for twice. It's a great song. It's an epic song. It tells a real story, doesn't it? And it's something that I think we all can identify with. I know I've been down in Nashville on Music Row.
I've been
down and out looking to steal the devil's song.
I've been down and out in Nashville, Tennessee.
But he actually got the devil's song. I never could.
Now, you and I got to stand down there on the curb in Nashville, Tennessee, busking like the best of them.
Maybe we did get it that night, you know?
And we looked around, and I think we saw the people who were getting it. I think we saw the people.
We walked right into a hive of them, and they left us, they left us to die.
They left us some dollars. But they did pick us up, and they did not like what we were about. I think they did that on purpose. Here you guys go. You should be fine out here in this desolate off-ramp.
Yeah.
You guys will be good here. Not in Nashville. That's what we get. Those are some good old boys, man, just trying to help out. They bought us Taco Bell. But no, we got to see those people falling down drunk in the streets. Nashville had a hold of them. Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville felt like one block, and Las Vegas must be like that just for miles, right?
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. But I feel like
I've never been to Vegas. That's where I wanted to go that weekend.
That's right.
Didn't turn out.
No. I got that job at the paper, and we went back.
Oh, I'm right back.
God damn, baby.
Next thing you know,
here we are. We back.
You back. You still have that typewriter you got there?
I sold it for 250 big ones.
Well, that's what it's worth. It's a great collector's item.
I asked what the guy was going to do with it. He's making knives. And
what the fuck?
Typing on the knives with the little ball. The IBM Selectric 2 had that.
Making knives on the ball? How does he have a ball of knives?
For whatever reason, he needs the typewriter. The Selectric 2 typewriter that I had was perfect for, I don't know, somehow typing on these blades that he had made.
Yeah, no, I see. It probably has a really, really... I bet that ball is like tungsten or some shit. I bet it's expensive.
Yeah, homeboy was all about the ball. I was fucking sad to see it go, man. But he told me that, you know.
I would have been like, nah, fuck you. I'm not selling this to a knife maker. I'm selling this to a writer. Get out of here.
If I had that typewriter now, I wouldn't sell it for $500.
Hell, you should have brought it to. If you had brought it up there, it would have. You could have put it on sale at your store for like $1,000, and someone would have bought it too.
Yeah, man, fucking. Here you go, $1,000, baby. That was Hunter S. Thompson's typewriter. Enjoy. You get on out of here now. Go put that on the TV.
Look, here's where he signed it.
Here's where he signed it.
It just says like Kate Sack.
It said number one brother on it. Pussy Riot got poisoned by Putin.
Yeah, I saw.
She's feeling much better now.
No, he. Her husband.
Oh, well, let's take a look at this. Pussy Riot activist awake again after poisoning. He's holding up the peace sign. He's like, thanks. Just a little poisoning. Pussy Riot punk band member Pyotr Vasilyevich. Verzilov has regained consciousness. Thank goodness for that. After being hospitalized in Moscow with suspected poisoning. Is this the work of agents? How does homeboy just get poisoned? He's with Pussy Riot and he happens to get poisoned. They're so blatant about it.
A lot of times it's done for intimidation and the use of the polonium especially.
Right.
It's so easy to trace that radioactive shit. Why would they do it? Why would they use that particular poison sure. when they have... If
any
they're trying
number
to hide
them.
Something. Yeah. They wouldn't.
Oh, that's so fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah.
That's so creepy, jeepies.
And it's not even a fatal poisoning either.
That's the weird thing, right? He's going to be wondering, like, what next? Do I have cancer? Fucking nightmare scenario.
Poisoned by Russia. Well, you know...
If people really think that this stuff against Trump is made up about Russia and stuff, that's weird, too. Even, like, you know, no matter how they might feel about the president because of the association.
There are a lot of people who... have, you know,
this drunk guy got in my face and
what did he say?
He was like, fuck you.
Okay.
He goes, fuck you to me today when I'm on the street.
Why do you do that?
Because well, look, we run chronicle.su, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is a website. Where is it? In the former Soviet Union?
This guy knows you from Chronicle.
This is a .su domain extension, right?
Yeah.
So to celebrate our success in 2000 and whenever, 12, 11 or 12 or something, my friend bought me a couple of CCCP t-shirts. The Combined Community Codex pack is... very helpful tool that people used to download and install to get all their codecs on their computers and they could play video files, right?
Yeah.
So it was like kind of a tongue-in-cheek, here you go, and it's got a communist hammer and sickle on it. You know that red t-shirt?
Right.
And I'm wearing it, and this guy gets up in my face and he goes, hey, fuck you. Fuck you.
For wearing the
yeah.
flag.
And I don't flinch.
What did he say?
And he's like, you know, what are you, a fucking communist? You're a fucking communist? And I said, no. No. He goes, yeah, well, you know, what are you, a fucking, why are you wearing that shirt? And he's like, I'm an anarchist.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And dude, I can smell his breath, right? And he's got this wild look in his eyes. Like, this person is not even present. Like, whoever's standing in front of me, you know, that dude's still like in the bathroom at the bar. He just got kicked out of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a wild animal look, and it tells you that violence could, you know, be any second. And I'm like, no, man, it's, I'm not, and finally, he keeps pestering me, makes me repeat myself, no. He's like, well, what is it then? I said, well, it's kind of a long story, you know, but I run a website, and somebody got me this t-shirt, and it's just like a gesture of irony, it's like nothing, you know? It doesn't mean anything, I'm just walking around wearing it. And he makes me repeat myself a third time, so four times, I've told this guy the same fucking answer. And finally I realize, oh, he's just too fucking stupid. And he's going, you're dumb. You're dumb, you know? And he's like, you're a shit person. And I said, no, I'm all right. Come on. I'm fine. And I said, I felt like I should de-escalate it. So I'm like, and so are you. You're fine. You know, everything's cool. Fucking and it worked. And then I was like, oh, yeah, but he kept pestering me. He's like, you know what? You're dumb. And I said, yeah, it's nice talking to you. And I walked away.
I would have said that from the beginning.
Dude, he was following me. I was walking down the street, and he changed directions and latched onto me and was in my personal space, like right up in it, demanding answers and acting like, because he's an anarchist.
No, I would have told him that anarchy is just a...
You would have reasoned with the drunk guy.
A, part of the family of liberalism.
This fucking guy.
Yeah, anarcho-capitalist. That's what he is. He's an anarcho-capitalist.
It was enough for me to say a couple big words at him and get him to be like, oh, this guy is, you know, maybe I actually am kind of wrong. But I was not about to engage him on that level because this guy was not there. He was a fucking... Dude, he was a drunk out of his mind. Him being an anarchist, he might as well have told me he's the fucking Jet Puff Marshmallow Man.
Jet Puff, never heard of it.
Big old puffy guy. Used to see him on television. I think he was, wasn't he like the bad guy in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something? No, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids?
I was told the guy just wanted to tax his money away to give it to a black person.
Oh, yeah, well, dude, it was, I don't know. If I was, like, say I was a communist, what am I supposed to do then? And, you know? Like, sorry, dude, you know, I'd love to live on this lawless rock forever, but wouldn't it be cool if we had... like rocket ships and got the fuck out. I don't know, dude. But what was he? He was like, fuck you. That was how he started the conversation. So what?
So you say, fuck you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, guy acting aggressive and up in my personal space. He was getting up in Hate Sex personal space.
Damn, dude.
Hate Sex talked him down? And
if you'd been wearing a swastika, you would have been like, hey man, how's it going?
He would have punched me.
I think so. Oh yeah, someone would have punched you. You don't wear that around.
Yeah, or you know, you gotta punch that shit down. Apparently. I wore that t-shirt into my grandpa. He was a commander in the U.S. Navy, and I would have changed the shirt. I just wasn't even thinking about it. And I walked in. He says, well, son, you might as well come in here with a black t-shirt and a big white swastika across it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because the guy fucking fought communism explicitly in Vietnam, you know, as far as... And I walk in with that shirt. It was nuts. I took two tours in Vietnam. Yeah. And he did the first time he went on the ground, and then the second time he went on a gunboat. He was like captain of the fucking gunboat going up these snaky North Vietnamese rivers. They swarmed him one time from the banks. He said tracer rounds were in the middle of the night were going over across the bank and they were ambushed. And one by one, you know, sometimes two by two, these guys were getting up on the side of the boat and crawling in. And my grandpa was arresting them as they came up on board. He was disarming and arresting them. And in the newspaper, there's this gigantic pile of guns in front of him. And these are all the VC guns. Like,
why didn't he shoot them? I don't understand why he arrested him.
Like, why didn't he just summarily execute them, all of them?
I guess he caught him while they were climbing up.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he didn't... That's the thing. Like, he didn't even have to kill that many. He killed people on the banks, but the people that got on his ship, they were able to arrest them. They're worth more, I guess. I don't know. But, like, they didn't have to kill anybody, and they didn't. They didn't want to get it on their nice fucking suits, dude. These guys are sailors. Fucking... That's kind of a bad motherfucking story. But yeah. So
you're
he...
under arrest for war.
So, like, that's... You know, that's the... How close he came... Like, he put his life on the line. Fighting communism. And then I come in with this fucking bullshit red t-shirt on. With the yellow... Communist hammer and sickle.
He's about to arrest you, huh?
Arrest me with the VC. Fucking, now what were we talking about, though? Pussy Riot getting poisoned. I'll say this. I'm really glad that it's not happening stateside that we know of.
It happened in Great Britain, apparently.
It happens there. Yeah, Russia.
A lot of people say it's fake. What do you think?
No, dude. Russia's got their tentacles in Great Britain, and I believe it.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it's not Britain's fault. They're a rough and tumble group of boys, you know what I'm saying?
And to be fair, it's not like it doesn't go both ways.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Britain has spies in Russia. You don't ever know.
Maybe. Well, that Joseph Conrad wrote The Secret Agent, and that's what that was about. It was about an anarchist group.
Did he use number stations?
No, there was no number stations. But there was not even really, like, cryptic messages as far as I remember. Like, nothing was getting decrypted, but
no.
It was about anarchists and then Russian influence in these anarchist groups. You know, there'd be, like, a few pure ones sitting by the fire. Really, they believe these things at the, you know, at the tavern, and they're like, planning a bombing for it.
And you read Clockwork Orange, right?
No.
You saw it, though.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how they use all that Russian Slavic jargon, right?
Sure.
That, in the book, you get a little more detail, and there's
some good old boys.
I cut it. No, there's some suggestion that all the hooligans are Russian influence operations, and that they've been kind of driven to this violence by Russian media or something.
Who? Who are the media driving around?
The hyperviolence people in
England?
Clockwork Orange, yeah.
Oh, that shit.
That's in England, but they're speaking, all their slang is Russian, and when he's arrested, they're talking, you know, there's these, you know, hints that it's like the Russians have somehow caused this hyper-violent culture.
Maybe so.
Well, that's a book. It's not...
But it's a similar...
If anything, I games like Rust are infecting Russian kids now. Oh. That's how the culture goes nowadays.
AK-47s.
It's mostly west to east, yeah.
Out on the wasteland. We have AK-47, friend. Fucking... So the Russians have influence on this anarchist group in Conrad's book. And they finally set it up to where, okay, there's going to be a bombing at this public place at this time, and whatever. And the protagonist, spoilers, commissions this vulnerable, retarded boy to do the bombing, and the kid goes and dies in the bombing, but the bombing is successful. And everybody is wondering, who's the secret agent? And at the end of the book, you find out it's this Kevin Spacey at the end of Usual Suspects kind of guy.
I never saw it.
And it's fucking wild, right? But this was the product of Russian interference in an organic anarchist movement in England in the 1800s.
Hmm.
Or maybe the late 1700s, I can't remember.
Yeah, that anarchism is
it's old.
Well, nobody really talks about it much anymore in university settings.
I think,
but at the turn of the century, it was a big deal.
Why?
I don't know. Back then, it still had some kind of purchase. There was, you know, arguments between Marxists and anarchists and liberals and... Well, there's probably other ones too I don't know about, but the anarchists kind of just ended up, well, for one thing, they had no military successes. The anarchists in Ukraine that formed a state were wiped out by the Soviets because they really didn't care for trains or logistics. They kind of were backwards looking. It was reactionary. They didn't want industrialization. They were peasants. And that's the only anarchist state that ever existed, I think.
The only anarchist state to have ever.
And I know that's a contradiction in terms, but there was a military police force instituting supposedly ideals of anarchism as they fought for their freedom from, the war around them.
That's a dominant topic. It's still here. It's still going on, man. Watching people get poisoned by Pussy Riot.
Yeah, and they're anarchists, aren't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they're anarchists. And interestingly enough, anarchy means siding with the U.S. against Russia to them. And anarchism in Venezuela means siding with the U.S. against Venezuela. So it's societally kind of got a reactionary streak if you look at it globally. It's punching at socialist countries that are in some kind of... Well, I wouldn't call Russia socialist. Actually, Russia's totally neo-fascist. It was the first one to turn.
Anarchism is...
Well, not the first. No, there's been plenty of, you know, I don't know. What would you call a guy like... In South America, there's lots of governments that have been installed by the U.S. that are supposedly free and free market, and really it was all about protecting capital for the U.S.
Makes me think about the Independent Party, where, in anarchism in all these cases is... like whether it's going to be Russian or American, who they side with, right? The Independent Party is kind of like, it sounds like it's just going to be, oh, okay, this is the one that's independent of Republicans and Democrats. I can get down with that. And then you find out that they're these like insanely fucking just crazy
Ron Paul people, fringe stuff that. You don't. You can see where they're coming from, maybe, but it doesn't have any purchase with the masses. So why would anyone put their dice in that barrel?
It's wild. It can get pretty wild.
I think when I see the Green Party, it's like, yeah, Jill Stein's great. I'd vote for her, but I don't see everyone getting behind this because it's just. It's a little too true. It's too far, too close to home. Everyone's going to be grossed out by it.
And it's a little web 1.0, isn't it? It's like just the basic. You got a page, and this is your thing, and like here's your candidate. She's like, she's real. She's kind of not fucking with anything. She was in a hippie band, jam band for a while. Whatever. Here's her web page, and it's like her CV or something. It's just really small, and of course it'll never win, but every 4 years they see that more and more people are going with that shit almost as a statement or a vote of no confidence, except it's actually a vote for the party that looks the best out of all of them, which is unrealistic because of the control that the parties have over the system. Well, Hatesec, explaining American politics on Radio Hate. I'm mansplaining that shit right now.
Who are you going to vote for, Oprah? It's going to be Oprah Trump 2 years from now.
Oprah running with Trump as her running mate?
No, versus Trump.
Oh, against him. Against
Oprah
him.
Will probably bring in Bernie as her vice president.
Dude. You think she would cuck him like that and make him the vice?
Sure.
Old Bernie backseat.
And she'd actually probably rely on him once she gets in office, because that's what a fake figurehead should do.
Yeah, they'd hold hands and watch sitcoms at night.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny. Will and Grace is still good.
I've never watched that.
I watched it once with my mom. Don't remember it. I remember a lot of the jokes being about their gayness and homosex. It was all like, you know.
Is that the one with Charlie Sheen?
No, that was something about three men and a baby.
Yeah, that's the one.
Tiger Blood. And then when he said smoking hotties, smoking hotties. About the bitches he's rolling around with. You don't call them bitches now, but this is Charlie Sheen.
10 gram rocks, right?
Banging 10 gram, banging them, banging rocks with smoking hotties. What a spin out! And in the end, you find out he has HIV, so it's just you can't even laugh at it anymore. Smoking hotties, smoking, like in The Mask. Did you like that part of The Mask? When he would go smoking. You remember that? He would spin around.
Yeah. Smoking. And his face would explode and then turn into a wolf.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's how I remember it. Fucking Border Patrol guy killed all those people. It turns out he was a serial killer. Did you hear about that guy?
No, I didn't hear
about
that.
He was killing prostitutes.
Why was he doing that?
Dude.
What a fucked up.
He finally killed a fifth woman in 2 weeks. And, he was going to kill her or something, and she escaped and, like, went to a gas station. This was in Texas. And, he was with the Border Patrol. And we could go into the gritty details of this, but they're considering him a serial killer.
Yeah, he probably has done 20 more that you don't know about. He's right. Got this powerful job as a cop. They don't have him for shit.
Do you think that job attracts people with these desires?
Well, after watching a lot of crime shows, yeah.
They're informative.
Usually in a crime, the first people who you suspect are the cops or the boyfriends or slash husbands. And that's just the way those crime shows seem to show it.
And the woman's always getting knocked around by some guy in a motel room.
And there's always some bad attempt to frame a random, you know how people watch TV and they imagine crime being totally random from people who don't know you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have this fantasy world, you know, view that, oh, if I just frame some random person who's not me, I'm off the hook. And then, meanwhile, in the back of their truck or something, they've got like a pile of their murder kit all assembled for the cops to find.
Yeah, the knife already has like evidence stickers on it.
If you ever watch the forensic shows, it's like that every time.
There's somebody in the trunk.
Yeah,
when they find him. So there he is. He pleads guilty, forfeits his assets, $22 million U.S. dollars in property. Thank you. Paul Manafort will be snatching those assets. I've watched 3 videos today, and this was one of them, where you try to... it says there's a video on the news site, right? So you click it, and it's just some bullshit with the music playing in the background. You know, this stupid, and it's got, it's not a video at all, it's just a, no, it's just a slideshow, man. And well, it's showing you text on the screen.
When I'm looking up videos of stuff and I find one of those slideshows I just read, it's like I'm not on YouTube to see a couple of photos sliding across the screen slowly.
Yeah, and it just spits the text out at you like every 4 seconds or something. Like, that's not a fucking video, dude. That's a slideshow. And you see it on Twitter, like, you get tricked into watching a video and it's just one of these fucking slideshows again. Like you're a baby, dude. This is like spoon feeding you the news. Who watches this shit like that? Like babies getting fed, dude. Like, here comes another one, and it's another little line of text. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that little piece of information. I'll sit here like a dumb fuck and wait for the next little sentence to pop up, because I can't read a paragraph on my own.
Oh my god. Yeah, slow period. That's all it is some infantilizing. I mean, they could at least have someone read it for you.
Right.
Slowly and enunciating like a child. And today, the...
As the permafrost...
hurricane bears down on us.
Even if it was like an automatic voice. If it was just a robot voice, that would be more helpful. Yeah.
A slow robotic voice would be quicker and less condescending, even though I hate them.
Right. I mean, you could tuck, then you could stick that in your pocket and like be listening to it on your headphones, at least. Then you're listening to the news. But this is bullshit, this stuff about, you know, just putting a sentence on the screen. It takes 90 seconds to get through a fucking paragraph.
They're trying to increase their view time so they can get ad money.
Well, when I see that shit, I turn it off. They'll get dick from me.
Their engagement is down the toilets after you visited.
You would think that's something like, oh, I must have seen that at BuzzFeed and Hate Sex and Asshole. This is Newsweek.com.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't...
No, it's just standard. If they're going to put a video out on YouTube and make ad money, they try to stretch it out.
Try
you
to
gotta get
it
past a minute and a half, or else they don't get anything.
How does that even qualify as a video? Why would anybody advertise behind that?
Hey, it's an algorithm. It's not a sensible human being behind it.
Speaking of algorithms, did you hear about that Tesla Model 3 got stolen from the Mall of America?
Fuck it. I hate Elon Musk, and I hate his stupid cars.
Somebody used a smartphone to steal the car.
I'm glad his business has gone up in flames. It was way overvalued.
The owner tracked the location of the car's supercharging. They located the car and arrested the man.
You know what? He's like, if everybody saw the DeLorean and were like, I'm going all in on this DeLorean. This is the best idea ever. He's just a great salesman.
Like, oh, you mean like just a regular DeLorean?
Yeah. Well, it was just
it doesn't have special
that's
powers.
That's what the DeLorean was a big hype of a car.
Oh, it was, dude.
It really didn't deliver the same quality as competitors.
It was like, man, the action
figure.
It had
a much higher price. That's why it kind of failed.
Marty McFly action figures were no good, but you could actually buy the car.
It has become a cultural icon. Maybe that's what Elon Musk's legacy will be, is the one of his cars will. And the thing is, they don't even look that innovative, or they don't. You know, who's going to use a Tesla in a time machine in any movie soon? You know,
I don't see Teslas in film.
When you see a Tesla, you like barely recognize it anyway, and you'll have to look at it carefully, and you're like, oh yeah, that is a little slicker than your average car.
but it's still not very impressive. It's like
It's not radical. No,
it's like a sporty looking Honda.
Subtle. Yeah, it's pretty subtle.
The Border Patrol should start using Teslas because they're so quiet. They can sneak up on them illegals.
And then what?
And I don't know. Serial kill them.
Deport them. Take their children and put them in a cage and send them back to Mexico.
Cage them kids, send them back to Mexico.
Hey, that's what they're doing with those kids in these children concentration camps is they're taking illegal immigrant children and pumping their blood right into Trump.
Dude, there's still 500 of them not connected to their families.
Yeah, and they're taking their blood just like Elfo.
500 fucking kids, and some of them are just toddlers.
Yeah.
They're like little babies that
have
to suck a tit.
They have the best blood of all. You hook your blood up to a toddler and it'll cure your cancer.
That plump baby blood is what keeps Trump young. I just like to know they're suffering in camps. That's all I'm saying.
Every time he has dementia, they just hook him up to a baby.
Old Trump's getting dumb again. Hook him up to a baby.
God.
Fetch me one of them little ones. Trump's sick. Trump ain't well. He needs a baby.
He's got dementia. There's lesions all over his brain.
Old Trump's got the lesions on his brain. Had to eat a baby. Somebody in his cabinet saw him cutting and like crushing down baby dust pills into lines and snorting them off that.
Oh, it wasn't just any baby dust, though. They had got the baby's adrenaline gland. What's the gland right there at the where their all their DMT and their soul is seated?
Oh, and the not the pituitary gland, but the thyroid? No.
It's not the thyroid. It's like maybe all those together, that big handful right at the middle of the brain, and that they grind up and eat. And that is the real soul dust. The rest of it they send out to their underlings to have the, you know, the swaggy stuff. But that center of the brain, that nice core there, that's what they always want.
That's look, man, these baby dust drugs, they're starting to get pretty pretty niche. You know what I'm saying? And they do go for those glands. I don't know, you know, where they stop, but how do you even get that gland out of a tiny little fetus? You wouldn't think they would have glands. You know? It's just fetal tissue.
No, they got everything in adults, Scott, right? Except for their bones are like wobbly.
Well, there's been a new miracle breakthrough coming out of Leibniz-Joerger Laboratories and pharmaceuticals, and this is the cure you've been looking for. What were you just asking me? Something about
asking you anything.
The babies, the purity, and their glands. These babies are grown. They grow well. These are American free-range children, and they grow up to make better, wetter baby dust because they already have all their glands, even as fetal tissue, their glands are in check, and that's thanks to the proprietary Leibniz-Joerger hormone kit that we apply to the brood mares producing the children.
My God. It's like every child is Anakin Skywalker.
They're in the dust. They're dust in the wind. Buyer beware. Though these pills contain the dead baby dust your body is already accustomed to, the pills being traded out of South Korea are not the same as the official male enhancement baby dust pills sold by Leibniz-Joerger. Some users have ingested a rare superbacteria found only in Chinese infants used in the inferior pill making process tailored to the eastern black market of Kowloon Walled City. hardcore users, and this brings us back to Trump, have chosen to crush and snort the baby dust pills for instant gratification. This is dangerous, however, because the pills are oftentimes made in China and therefore contain high levels of chromium, a toxic element used as a wood preservative, but not in the member hardening way originally intended by Liebel Drucker Pharmaceuticals, but actually as a wood preservative. And Raleigh Sakers came into the picture, and he told, what do you think he was on about? Because he was, he's been using that product for quite a while. I mean, he was taking a Trump-level dose before they even had what Trump was snorting.
Well, sometimes if you have too much of it, you've got to take a break for a day and only take half a dose.
It's important, listeners, that if you do start to feel sensations of yourself as a shadow in the periphery of your own mind, to discontinue use of the baby dust pills and maybe take a maintenance dose of Terramax and consult Dr. Troubadour on his website at LiebelDrucker.com. But anyway, Sakers, here's what Sakers said. Sakers told Chronicle.su that the chromium found in his patented male enhancement pill is safe enough for human ingestion through the stomach, end quote. But he warned users that the drug, if snorted, will go straight to the brain, causing immediate satisfying erections with the very likely possibility of banging a woman with the tip of your penis, followed by sudden death. Dr. Troubadour recommends it highly. One out of one doctors.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's just good advice from Dr. Troubadour, man. He told me to read this fucking thing.
Well, that's enough. That's all I can handle, man.
He recommended it.
Yeah, I know.
This has gotten so long that we're going to have to encode it in a lower quality.
Just let's call it quits.
We haven't even got through half the material for tonight's show, but...
Oh, we can do it tomorrow. Yeah, this is enough.
This is enough. I mean, what the fuck, dude? We're doing this for free right now. All right. Radio Hate is brought to you proudly by the very company that that brought you that fucked up message that we just had to read, and Dr. Troubadour himself, the Internet Chronicle you're listening to, chronicle.su. Get the fuck out of here, go fuck yourselves, and good night.
Will you telephone and ask her when she's coming back to me? My child emerged unfurmured and stroked the anxious brow. No telephone connection where your mother is at now. No telephone in heaven, and the tears bring in her eyes. I thought God had everything with him up in the sky. Tell her that I get so lonesome that I don't know what to do. And Papa cries so much, I guess he must be lonesome too. Tell her to come to baby, 'cause at night I get so afraid, with no one there to kiss me when the lights begin to fade. My child emerged unmurmured and stroked the anxious brow. Telephone connection where your mother lives at now. No telephone in heaven, and the tears spring in her eyes. I thought God had everything with him up in the sky. All through the day I wander, since my doll is gone so torn. The awful punching brother, give it with his little sword. makes it since Mama's gone away. And poor little lonesome Dolly's getting thinner every day. My child, the merchant murmured and stroked the anxious brow. No telephone connection where your mother lives at now. No telephone in heaven, and the tears spring in her eyes. I thought God had everything with him up in the sky.